The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
I don't know.
We have a big guest here, and you got him in front of tablecloths that look like we may or may not kill him after this and wrap him in them. I mean, look at them.
I mean, it did get creepier once you said the whole plan.
I'm on an anger death thing, so I apologize. Wow. Did you wear that Canada hat just to piss off Rick?
We're rolling.
I like where we're
Man,
going.
Man, this is great. We got all of Eleanor's murder plot recorded
so
on tape. We'll take this straight to the authorities.
Guys, Rick Ingram's back.
I'm back, guys.
Podcast.
Everyone has been wondering, where am I?
And that's not wrong.
I'm here. That's all that matters.
You've been on the road, so I've been having guest co-hosts. And now we have a great guest, Harlan Williams. Thank you so much for coming. This is a big deal for us. We're big fans.
This is a big get.
It is? Wow. Thank you.
It's a good get.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much.
I'm
kidding. Of course. Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Can you
feel my insecurity? Really?
No. Not at all.
You put on a good mask.
I do. I have a good mask. Did you wear the Canada hat for Rick to piss him off? I like it.
No.
Unbelievable.
Why do you get mad at Canada?
Oh,
unbelievable.
The worst way he shits on Canada.
Wow. What happened, Rick? Did you have something? What went down in Canada?
What's even worse is I went to Toronto maybe like 3-4 weeks ago, and it was my first time ever going to Canada, and it was amazing.
Oh.
And I was furious.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
That's what you get.
I went to a shopping mall. It was like it was 1997. It was packed. People having a great time. I was just like, what are they doing? What do we got to get going on?
Universal health care.
Why haven't we taken Canada over and ruined it yet? That's really...
Maybe that's what's pissing them off.
Wow, yeah. Well, geez, I'm glad you had a good experience up there, man.
Are you from Ontario?
The crowd was good.
Yeah, from Toronto, where you were.
Okay.
You hated and loved it at the same time, it sounds like.
It's a hip city. They're very nice Canadians, so I don't trash them too much, but it is uncomfortable to be around somebody. Because I'm from Philadelphia, so we're like,
what's wrong
with you that you're so nice?
You know, like Philly town.
We get a little... You're more of
a mean, aggressive type.
Yeah.
It's a real seafood town. I love it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, great chowders and bisque up there, right?
That's Boston, but Maine,
Philly's right there, so I think they have seafood.
Cheesesteaks and hoagies and stuff like that.
But aren't you on the shore with the carnival wheel and stuff?
Wildwood, New Jersey, but I like what you're doing.
So have you had seafood?
No, I don't eat anything out of the sea.
Oh, that's why you don't know about it.
Yeah.
But it's a real seafood town.
We have a lot of Italians. They do seafood.
Philly's huge.
Huge seafood.
Yeah.
If you go up 9th Street, you can see crabs walking around. You can
not
grab
into that.
Them.
That's it. Yeah.
But if you go to like Maine or up there, I think of that as the chowder. Lobster.
So you've never had seafood ever?
No, I'm a real cheap date in case anybody's listening.
Hold on. Is anyone out there listening? Trying to get a piece of this? Because we could probably...
Sell me off for cheap.
We could at least hook this up, Eleanor.
I love Harlan's face.
You've never had a shrimp.
No, it's disgusting.
So you just don't...
You think I'm going to wipe something's ass before I eat it?
I guarantee...
Are you out of your mind?
She's eaten more hot dogs out of convenience stores.
I don't eat hot dogs.
No?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
What
do you
I
eat?
I know. The that's only a thing, problem.
I've known Eleanor for almost 20 years. The only thing I've ever seen her eat is... about 1/4 of a quesadilla one time over 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Where was it? Sometimes I can't eat that anymore either. I don't like it.
What do you eat?
Peanut butter and jelly.
I eat like
a 5-year-old.
What kind of peanut butter, though?
Macaroni and cheese. I do almond butter. I did switch. I did upgrade a slight.
What? You don't even eat like Skippy or?
Oh, I do peanut butter. Yeah, Skippy or I'll try to do a little bit better than Skippy, but it's still peanut butter.
I'm exclusively a Peter Pan peanut butter
man. Oh, yeah. Peter Pan.
Yeah. I don't mess around with anything else.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah, Peter Pan peanut butter, man.
That's a good one.
What I had when I was a kid, and I think it still holds up.
It's sort of weird because he's on the cover, and when you look at peanut butter, you almost look like it's a jar with a whipped little boy in it. You know, like it's
That does.
Green leotards.
Wait, yeah.
Not,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I just assumed he's the one that gathers the peanuts.
No, I picture it that he's like in, it's a smoothie. It's like a boy with curly elf shoes and a feather in his hat. And they've whipped him until he's brown.
That's amazing. Where
this
do they make
this? This is the best perspective I've heard yet on Peter Pan.
I think it's a great one.
Peter Pan peanut butter.
Where do they make Peter Pan peanut butter? Because that
in Fairyland. Where did they go? Wonderland or
Neverland?
Neverland.
Where they get a lot of little boys.
So that they could buy Michael Jackson's paradise.
Oh yeah, that's what he called
it. Crossover.
These are the ones that
he made peanut butter for sure. That guy. Jacko.
Jack was a big peanut butter making guy.
He had a lot of butter going. That guy.
The
you don't even need
there.
The peanuts, really. No. Just get, get the butter.
The king of pop?
Raw.
Come on.
Yeah.
He worked it out. Gave him a ride on the train, you know, proverbially, or however you say it.
Pervertedly, I think.
Yeah,
pervertedly
is good.
That's probably the more accurate way.
There was a lot of spreading going on up there.
Those are the rumors.
The peanut butter is what
I'm...
Yeah.
A lot of sandwiches.
You got to make a lot of sandwiches, and there's a lot of boys that didn't live to tell. They became smoothies.
Oh, God.
No?
Classic Peter Pan story.
Why did Peter Pan wear green leotards, though? Is it... I mean, you've seen it, right?
Of course. The play,
remember
the movie,
everything. He always had green leotards. First of all, where do you get the... Like, I shop at Ross Dress for Less, and they don't even have them.
Wow.
Like, where... If I'm a guy who wakes up
there
in the morning and go, I need me a pair of green leotards, where is me going to go?
Right. I probably need 14 of them at least. I wear it every day.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Look at that.
But where do you get them? You're a girl. You know fashion better than we do.
Oh, yeah. I'm a girl. That's right. I forgot.
Where does a guy get green leotards?
I don't know. A ballet shop? My niece used to dance.
Ballet shop.
Yeah,
you think,
right?
You think the feds aren't staking that out?
Or maybe like a WrestleMania? Like you could get tights and a singlet there.
Let me ask you this. This is for the guys.
Okay.
You've traveled all over North America.
Yeah.
You've probably been in 300 malls in your life. You've probably walked down 5,000 streets with shops and stores. Have you ever in your life seen a ballet shop?
Absolutely, under no circumstances. Now that you bring it up, have I ever seen the ballet shop?
So why don't we cut through the bullshit and tell us where we can get green leotards?
What are you hiding,
Eleanor? Nice try with the diversion.
Yeah.
Someone doesn't want us.
Classic misdirection.
Someone doesn't want us to prance.
Who are you protecting?
I want you to prance. I'm
Who
not
are
good
you protecting?
Girly. I'm not good at being a girl, so I don't know where you would get it. I was just guessing.
Dice probably knows.
I was guessing like a dude because...
It was a pretty solid guess.
It was pretty convincing.
I did ballet and tap when I was, I think, 7
And where did you get your stuff?
I don't know. My mom bought it, but I was so tall.
Classic. No idea.
And the
doesn't
stockings,
recollect at all.
Does not.
When the
never
trafficking
said I got
started.
This at the ballet shop.
I couldn't even get the tights all the way up. They only went to my mid-thigh because I was too tall. I was a good, like the crotch was in my mid-thigh. I was a goon.
Wow. Forget about Swan Lake. How about Crab Lagoon? How did you even
That's
move?
That's why I don't eat seafood.
There
it's
you go.
Now, it's all coming
it's
together
all coming
now.
Around, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't, but my
Is
niece...
Is this still part of the get a date with Eleanor?
I hope so.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I still have that tutu, I think. I'll find it.
Tutu? Why don't you just call it a 4?
My God. It all came together.
I will. I was going to say, I have my 4 on. Come watch me. I'm not like really girly, so I'm trying. I'm
She's
pretending.
Not.
She's not?
No.
Uh-huh. Seemed girly to me.
Yeah, I'll try.
There's a better chance that she beat someone with a bat tonight.
Okay,
than...
inappropriate. This is my new friend.
I know, and he's Canadian, but he needs to know what he's dealing with.
I'm just saying...
He probably is more trustworthy than most.
You probably shouldn't throw popcorn at my car. I get very angry when there's popcorn thrown at my car.
It's a big...
Well, whoever threw popcorn
at
a car?
Some crazy guy in front of the Comedy Store, so I got out of the car. Rick happened to be there. My anger went up.
Like,
Philly came out.
What's Eleanor doing?
Wow, that's
Trunk
weird.
Pops open.
Who drives around with popcorn? Was it Orville Redenbacher? Was it an old guy with glasses and having a stroke, maybe? Were the children of the corn?
100% possibility that it was him.
It could have been Orville
I think you
Redenbacher.
Got attacked by Orville Redenbacher.
Well, he was talking shit.
These are the hard-hitting stories that people don't talk about on most podcasts.
Yeah.
Those
Peter Pan.
Redenbacher.
The Comedy Store brings out a lot of weird characters. And so
was it buttered or was it just plain?
It could have been because it did make a mark on my windshield. No, he threw it at my car.
But that's free popcorn.
You're not
wrong. Sawed off baseball bat. That's what she was going for. She didn't have time for popcorn. Oh, yeah.
You were going to beat Orville Redenbacher.
Absolutely.
A 98-year-old man with suspenders.
To a pulp.
Coke bottle glasses. spreading
blind.
Kernels to
the
world.
That guy didn't have glasses,
blind as he could be.
Yeah.
And you're...
Probably in the early ages of corn dementia.
I would have...
Beat Orville Redenbacher.
Choked up on the bat and everything.
You know, I used to get sick to my stomach when I was a kid and I'd see videos of people beating seals with baseball bats.
Yeah, clubbing seals,
but
sure.
But now this is beyond that. This is
on.
Like beating
pie. This is turning you on.
No, it's really, I feel nauseous.
He finds it off-putting.
I feel like I want to go to a movie theater and barf into the golden
into
topping
the
machine. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a nice
batch. I apologize, but I will learn where to get you green tights.
She wanted to beat Orville to death.
With a bat.
Throw him in the trunk of the car.
Yeah.
Have her way with him.
Oh, you wanted to have sex with Orville Redenbacher?
It may have turned to that, because then what happens is I'm crazy, but then I feel bad.
She goes, Mama Bear.
Yeah, then I would have felt bad that I did that, so I would have taken him in the car and at least...
You know, everybody needs someone. Like, I used to wonder if you know, the Children of the Corn,
sure.
Stephen King's... I always wondered if the adolescent girls from the Children of the Corn would masturbate to Orville Redenbacher's picture.
Ooh, yeah.
Because he's the king.
Or even just the sound of popcorn.
He is the Elvis of popcorn.
He's the Elvis of popcorn. Like, I wonder if, and I don't mean to be rude, but if,
not
you know, adolescent girls are discovering their bodies and they've got a bottle of, you know.
They have his poster and
what gets me
popcorn
going.
Popping in the
and
background.
He's the guy. He's the Elvis. And they're just slowly reaching down. And,
they're like,
oh,
this feels kind of good.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're exploring and then they're taking their time.
And also just looking at his picture probably creates a tingle, I would imagine. And that's what leads to the...
Is that a tie or a scarf?
Even though I'm a heterosexual man, you know, I can admit that is a great-looking older gentleman.
Oh, wow. So have you...
I mean, I'm not going to say that I have, but I also wouldn't say that I haven't. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to look him up.
He's a popcorn man.
Have you ever woken up and there's, like, butter and salt all over your sheets?
Burned pan of popcorn. Things get wild sometimes.
I think the answer is yes, then.
it's probably yes.
Yeah. Okay, Malachi.
Malachi. I love it. Malachi. That was my favorite show, movie, by the way.
Children of the Corn?
Loved it.
Why?
People used to tell me that I looked like that. And so
Eric Stoltz?
This is kind of a trigger.
Oh, you're getting upset?
The redheaded guy in
But I torture him about all different... What was the guy I used to call you? Shermanator.
Shermanator.
Shermanator was from, I don't know, he was...
American Pie?
Yeah. He was a little redheaded, kind of nerdy-ish.
But I'm curious, why is, like, and I'm not mocking it, but out of all the library of movies, why is Children of the Corn your favorite? I'm curious.
It was so disturbing, and just I don't know, it just really impacted, like, it stayed in my head for a long, long time. What the fuck?
There he is. There it
is.
Are you tingling? You just...
I did. I had a clinch a little.
I heard you go,
like, oh, you hear it shut? Or
no, was that what that was?
It makes a lot of noise.
A kegel.
It is noisy.
Look at this beautiful man.
It could get noisy.
Look at that pussy-eating monster.
Wow, he did not have...
What was that you just said now? Could you say that? I think I thought I heard...
I was talking about how Orville Redenbacher is a pussy-eating monster.
This is him between...
Clearly.
Yeah, obviously. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Think of it. You're a 15-year-old young adolescent healthy girl out in some rows of corn for most of your life.
Right. Yep. Which is also unheard of. I don't know.
Right. And you don't get exposure to a lot of men, and then the king of popcorn walks through one day and you're not going to freak out.
Yeah, I know. I'm like,
I think you get pretty excited.
Yeah.
He's also the king of the funnest type of corn.
Even one
and that
of his
goes a long way with corn.
Oh, which kind is that?
Popcorn.
Oh, popcorn. Okay. Yeah.
Way more exciting than your standard corn on the cob corn.
Right.
And, you know.
Let's pop it.
The Children of the Corn girl looking for a bad boy. That's the guy
there. That's the guy. Wow. And who names their kid Orville? I think it was one of the Wright brothers. And
that's
this
possible.
Guy. So it went from the guy who invented flying.
Yeah. First
to
guy
the guy
fly.
Who invented theater popcorn.
Is that him young up there?
That's a serial killer.
Yeah, that's a serial.
That's his great great grandfather, the cannibal Redenbacher. Yeah.
You ask yourself, why would they name him that? But you know, they knew day one.
Yeah.
What they had eventually.
I don't think I know enough about Orville Redenbacher. Now I'm going to get into it.
Eleanor was poor, so she never had the good stuff.
Not really. Yeah.
No, you're not.
She was lucky to get some Pop Secret.
Growing up, really?
Yeah.
I remember popcorn. I don't know if we had it all the time.
Oh, so
Jiffy popcorn.
On the stove. And it would blow up into a big silver.
It on purpose.
Talk about another guy who fucked a lot, probably.
Who?
The Jiffy popcorn guy, whoever that might be.
He did what now?
I'm thinking he probably fucked a lot. It's hard to say.
Whoa. Are you in
big
trouble?
Big time notifications.
What is a big time notification?
It was my Dexcom. A blood sugar monitor telling me that it was not working.
He has type 1 diabetes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably because we're talking about all this popcorn. Your levels are going up.
It skyrocketed. And
wow, you'd never make it as a child of the corn. Maybe you know, a child of the insulin? Are they a group?
It could be a group.
Okay, maybe
you better out there.
Stand out behind a hospital in the needles. And
I like this. This is the guy who started the Jiffy. Oh, he died Tuesday, his home in Long Beach.
That's tragic.
2 years
old. Wait, which guy?
That's from 1991.
Got it. I was reading. I was like, oh, this is sad.
It's funny. He also invented speed stick.
Okay.
Yeah, men in speed stick.
That's exciting.
Wow.
Is there a picture
Menin,
of this sexual
right?
yeah.
icon?
By Menin.
Mm-hmm. You know,
my mom.
You know your jingles, girl.
My
she
mom
knows
watched,
how to
used to watch like TV,
get attention.
But she got so annoyed from the commercials. She would, when we got figured out we could mute them, that was it.
No disrespect to Flo from Progressive? Yeah, Progressive Insurance. Because I've worked with her at Groundlink.
Yeah, yeah.
She's one of the funniest girls ever. I love her, but those commercials, I mute them.
I believe it.
They drive me nuts. And
it's too
people
much,
don't
but
know
let she, her run
yeah.
to the bank and laugh
oh, yeah.
all the
good
way.
For her.
Yeah,
good for her.
Good
for
her. I heard great things about her.
She's amazing. She's a lit. But it's because there's just so many of them. They shoot like
47
a week.
A year,
yeah.
Wait, let's go to that. You were a Groundlink student?
No, I was never a student. I just got invited a lot to go up and do shows
the
with them.
Sunday night thing. Is that Groundlinks? The Sunday night?
Not Sunday, but just like they would invite me to come and do their shows with them. And
right.
so, and she was often there and amazingly hilarious, like wonderful person. But that Flo character, there's just so many, it just drives me insane.
It's too much. Yeah. It's, I mean, now she's playing like her whole family. She's doing, oh God.
Yeah.
I don't
she's
do
the
commercial.
Eddie Murphy of insurance commercials.
Yeah. yeah.
I will pay extra for cable so I never have to see a commercial. I'm terrible.
Show commercials on cable.
Not HBO.
Oh.
She doesn't know about the new stuff, Harlan. Oh.
What's the new stuff?
Subscribes and all that.
HBO. I do ESPN, and that's where I have to
She has
to
the
mute.
Old HBO box. You got to switch it over from A to B.
It's so funny that you say HBO, and we just mentioned Menin.
Right?
Speed stick.
Why? Like, how's that correlate?
Well, like B.O. And men and everything's connecting tonight.
Unbelievable.
This might be the most magical podcast that's ever happened.
It's 100%.
Like everything we've talked about has come back around. Like, it's really weird. It's like we're in a cyclone of connectivity.
Yeah.
Kind of like your sister's eyebrows.
It feels,
wait, did you even have a sister?
I mean,
Dude, I'm sorry, bro. I can't wait to see how that comes around
later.
I want
to see how angry she gets when
that
she
is going to be exciting to find out how that ends up being kind
of a...
He
does have killer eyebrows, doesn't he?
He does, but I'm talking
seriously.
About his sister.
I have to draw them on like Joan Crawford.
Wow. Do you
Sunset
Sephora?
Boulevard. Yeah.
Do you go Sephora?
I have to.
Or MAC?
This man knows his makeup. I like that.
Yeah. I think I got it at Sephora.
Yeah.
My niece does makeup, and she's like, Aunt Elle, you have
to
fix that.
Is that Kat Von D?
No, I'm going to blow your mind. Anastasia. You know Anastasia?
Oh.
Anastasia had a little shop right on 3rd. Well, she worked for somebody that had a shop on 3rd. She used to do my eyebrows for $15. And then she did Oprah and J-Lo's, and they started boasting about her. She opened up her own shop in Beverly Hills, and now she's, I believe she's even retired and has her own line of eyebrow stuff, Anastasia.
That's what I always wanted.
She went from $15 to $100 in like 2 years. I was like, oh, fuck this lady.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So eyebrows became big business because of J-Lo and Oprah.
Wow.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The bitch is a brow.
Bitch is a brow. Whoopi Goldberg, because she doesn't have any. So
ouch.
It's hard to.
Oh, how does that happen?
It's uncomfortable, but Whoopi Goldberg, nobody notices. That's what's off
that's
about
what happened
her.
With her.
Well, how does that happen? Is
I
that
don't
a disease, eyebrow pecia or something?
I don't know. Don't come at me, bitch, but there's no eyebrows.
That's interesting. Has she always been is the term eyebrowless?
Eyebrowless.
Wow, she's like got a bald face.
Isn't that great? She's so confident, nobody ever notices.
Yeah. Right?
And it doesn't matter. I mean,
no,
do our eyebrows ever do anything for us? I can't remember the last time my eyebrows protected my eyes. Like, it's not like someone came at me with a stick and I bent my head and the stick
but
got caught in the tanglement.
She looks fine. She looks good.
Of course
like,
she
if
does.
I
yeah.
did that, I would look weird.
Eleanor, well, I don't
you
know.
You should go eyebrow free, I think.
I think you should. You should have
it's
a bald
time.
Face.
Well, if I didn't put anything on the really blonde like yours, they're just not as thick.
Shave them off.
Shave them off. Get rid of them.
Really?
How's your dating life?
Bad.
Get rid of them. like
that's
yesterday.
That's an easy
like yesterday.
Go.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't even get the proper tools. I would just rip them out tonight with your bare hands.
Really?
Put
not
some
even
Newman's
like a
own, like, olive oil or salad dressing and just
Newman's, I
lube
like
them
that.
Up and yeah. tear those suckers out and start dating. Get on Tinder.
He's
just
an expert
immediately
in a lot of
take
ways.
Pictures. He is. He is. I mean, I've learned so much
right
about
on your
you.
Profile. First thing, eyebrowless. You're going to get laid so hard.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're going to be
in
excited
a minute,
about
so
that.
I will
that's,
wax.
First of all, it's going to get their attention. They go, why would she put that first?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you put second? What would be on your dating profile?
After eyebrowless, what? There's a second. There's
well, you
don't
have to put
wrestling
anything.
Career, comedy.
I don't put the wrestling career. That scares them off, especially with no wrestling.
I think you
no
just
eyebrow.
Write, who wants them some bald face? And then just boom, watch them line up.
There's when I wrestled. Look how dark they were.
Oh, that's
this is
you.
Frightening. Yeah. That
wow,
Eleanor, you looking tough?
Oh, there I am. There.
Wait, you were a wrestler?
Yeah, I was a wrestler.
Holy God!
Women of wrestling. Very excited. I mean, this is what scares men off because I can flip people around, makes them nervous, I guess.
Yeah, well,
could
maybe
we get a close up on the pic of Eleanor with the cigarette.
That's at the comic
fly
store.
As fuck.
And look at that! Look at that face!
Wow, your eyebrows look thinner there.
Before Anastasia, this is BA. Before Anastasia, yeah.
What's BA?
Before Anastasia.
Oh, BA. Yeah.
I thought we were on it. Anyway.
Yeah.
We're losing
I
the cop. This picture's making people nervous.
I like the picture of you at Dice as Wolverine.
I'll be honest. I thought that picture that he just took down was John Bon Jovi.
It's you know what?
I didn't know that was you.
I've got for John or Eddie Vedder. So
yeah. Wow.
I cover both coasts.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take this down because I don't know why I'm on display right now.
Yeah, that's kind
let's
of
ask
let's Google Eleanor, the
kind
new podcast.
Rude, yeah.
Let's ask Harlan questions. You're making me nervous.
Harlan,
I'm nervous.
We got to make this professional as hell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's go to professional.
Google.
Get rid of me.
No.
How do you get into the children's cartoon game?
Whoa.
Oh, wow. You go right for the jugular.
That's kind of hard hitting.
He has
a
terrific voice, though.
It does.
That's what it is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Your
for
voice
the voice stuff. You know, it's funny because I never tried to get into the voice game. I think maybe I have a bit of a unique voice or something.
Yeah.
People tell me I do. So I just started getting calls from, my agents and And so it just kind of came my way. I didn't chase the voice,
right,
cartoon voice thing. So it's just, which is always nice when you don't have to chase something. It just sort of comes your way. So that's the simple answer. It just kind of
falls in your lap.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I enjoy it. But
yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it's easy work, but it's...
It's sort of easy to a degree.
Yeah.
It depends on the project.
Right.
And it sometimes depends on the directors, because I've done everything from TV shows to movies. I mean, I've been in Madagascar. I've been in Sausage Party. I've been in
Meet
the Robinson, all kinds of these movies. And some directors are like, okay, let's do it again 15 times. And just do it where when you say the.
Right.
And you just know they're overbeating it, and you just, I've had directors, I've just like, guys, come on,
right,
like enough, you've got it.
I know you got it.
Yeah, like, and then some directors are just like one or two takes, and you're done, and then some directors will let you improvise, which I love.
Yeah,
when you can improvise to a script and it's in voice, and it's a blast.
That's amazing, because some comics, like when it first started, like the animation was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, a lot of comics were like, I don't want to do that, like they were getting away from it.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm talking like 80s, you know, mid 80s.
Wow, that's
they just
silly.
Were like, nah, because it just didn't, they were doing other stuff.
I see, yeah.
And then, and so they, it was just like, what?
The
and their managers,
good times.
Yeah, their managers would bug them, like, hey, why don't you get in this? Like, dude, I'm doing tours, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I got six movies, blah, blah, blah. And they just didn't do
it. Well, that makes sense.
Right.
Then.
They were big stars, but they were like kind of shunning it. And then it became, they saw like what it turned into.
Yeah,
and
people
were like, "This is big business."
I think when Robin Williams did Aladdin, that's when animation went around a corner, not just for voice work, but
comics
for the medium of animation had a resurrection, and then eventually it segued into Toy Story with Pixar, which no one thought it could be done, and then it kept on going up the chain, and now it's a big part of the entertainment industry. It's just right in there with everything else. So,
and it's a cash cow.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, I know guys that just make their living doing voices.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I do a show that plays in 130 countries around the world, and you know, it's Puppy Dog Pals has been on for 5 years, and it plays, I think it plays 88 times a week on
Holy
Disney.
Shit.
So it's nothing to laugh at, you know?
That's what I mean. Yeah.
It's on a lot in my house.
It is?
Yeah. I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Oh, amazing.
And they will legit sit.
Oh, that's great.
And just watch, and I'm like, thank God, I don't have to chase them around.
I love that. Yeah, a lot of people have told me the show works as a great babysitter. Like,
it's calming.
They'll have babies that are crying or hyper, or I've even heard from a lot of parents who have autistic kids, which was something
interesting.
I didn't anticipate happening, but that they said their children were really living in a cone of silence, and for some reason something in Puppy Dog Pals brought them out, whether it was to make noises or say words or sing.
That's incredible.
And I've had a lot of parents with these heart moving stories, these emails to my fan page saying, hey, our kid was like in
nonverbal
nowhere land, and something in your show, it's not like we're conversing with the child, but something opened a portal, and it's just amazing. It's
That's
something
incredible.
I never thought I would hear, but it's great.
It took me like two episodes when my daughter first started watching it where I'm like, is that Harlan Williams? Like, it just took me, I'm like, wait, is he in a children's cartoon? It's like the immediate Google, like, But yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, good. I'm glad your kids like it. That's great.
He might actually like you now that you know Harlan.
It's possible. I wouldn't count on it, but you never know.
Yeah.
You know, she's my kid, so.
That's true. She's filled with hate, just like her daddy. God bless her.
Oh, no.
It's a beautiful thing.
Well, he passed it down.
He passed the hate. That's what I love about kids, man.
Do you have children?
No, but I've worked with a lot of kids because I write and illustrate children's books, and I've done a lot of stuff, and I just love the purity of a child's imagination.
It's the best.
It's just so clean, and the stuff that comes out of their mouths is...
His daughter's uncomfortably talented.
Is that right? And how do you mean?
She draws.
Oh, wow.
She's super smart.
Oh, wow.
Incredibly
smart.
Oh,
that's great.
She does do this thing that I've been trying to get her to stop, but she watches something and then just immediately incorporates the exact plot into a story that she's writing. And I'll have to be like,
so she's stealing?
Plagiarism.
Yeah, straight plagiarism.
Yeah, she's
I'll
a plagiarist.
Is this Lion King? She's like, no, it's a story about lions. Yeah. That's not the Lion King.
And one of them's a royal lion, but he's not a king.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally, I'm like, this sounds exactly like Lion King. Wow. She's like, first of all, the mean brother, he doesn't even have the same color hair. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, all right. I switched. Yeah, he switched up a little bit.
He switched the crayon. Yeah, yeah. She's
likes
smart.
She likes.
She's
likes
smart.
What she likes. Yeah. Wow. She's so, and she's an amazing, like artist. Like,
wow.
Draws pictures and stuff.
If
like,
she's already, how old is she?
Five.
She's five.
She's already, like, kind of mastering that. She's going to be very talented when she gets older. That's great. What's interesting, too, now is a lot of people can make that a viable career. Like, when I was going to college, I studied classical animation, and it was at a college in Canada. It was one of the, possibly the only or one of very few
that had that.
Facilities in the world that taught animation. Like, there was the concept of going to a school and studying cartooning. It just didn't happen. You know, it wasn't really seen as a viable career path. And so I was in this school for 3 years, and now you go and it's like, people are leaving high school planning a career in animation because there's, you know, with digital and computer animation, it just blew the door open on the industry, and so much is possible because it's not just kids shows now, it's movies, it's all kinds
all
of stuff.
All the streaming have a ton of it.
Yeah, it's so much.
Have you been doing stand-up the whole time you were doing, like, acting and stuff? Did you start out as a comic or did you start out as an actor?
I started as a stand-up.
Okay.
Yeah, that was...
In Canada.
And I never acted until I got down here. But I kind of went into comedy knowing that if I could do well at comedy, you know, other things like voice work and you know, TV and movies and all that stuff would hopefully come off of that. And that's kind of what happened, so...
Yeah, because I didn't get drawn to your, like, I wasn't familiar with your work until I saw you in, like, movies, and I was like, oh, this guy's hilarious. And then when I started doing comedy, I'm like, oh, he does comedy too. Like, I'm such an idiot. I'm like, oh, yeah.
No, well, it's weird so because cool. I cut my teeth up in Canada for, like, the first 7 years. So I didn't even get down to L.A. till I was in my late 20s.
Okay.
I think I was 28 or 29.
Yeah,
so
almost elderly, yeah.
Yeah, so I like kind of...
Missed out on the Barry Sobel years.
yeah. I did. I missed out. But I cut my teeth up in Canada and honed my act and honed comedy. And then I really made an effort to tell myself I'm not going down there... Because to me, the U.S. was like the big picture, right? And I said, I'm not going down there until I know I'm ready. Like I can feel confident enough that when I go on stage, I'll either make some noise and I'll get noticed, or even if I don't, at least I won't eat it, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
So it was.
So you were smart about it.
I guess I was, yeah.
Yeah, most people just come and they're like, what?
What's the process? How does a... Canadian comedian get to come to, like, did you have to do immigration
stuff?
Yeah,
it's not easy. It's actually intimidating and it's very difficult, and that's why there's not more Canadian comics here. And people always say, you know, why are Canadian comedians so funny? Like, you know, guys like Howie Mandel, Norm Macdonald, you know, there's so many really cool Canadian comics. And I think it's because the process is you have to get a sponsor. So you have to find someone in America who says, I like you, I'm going to sponsor you. And then they have to approach immigration and say, hey, I'm responsible for this guy.
I'm vouching for...
Here's all the work I'm going to get him. He's going to be under my wing. Then you get a 3-year work visa.
Okay.
And then that runs out. And if you can prove you you actually contributed and paid taxes and got somewhere, then they'll renew it. And then after a certain point, you're allowed to apply for a green card. And then that took me 6 years to get.
Jeez.
And then you have to hire an immigration lawyer. And when you're a starting comic, that's $20,000 American with the exchange rate. And you're also, you know, I came down to the U.S. with every dime I had that I'd saved up during those 7 years. And I just said, I got to go for it. And I said, I'm going to go to L.A. until my money literally runs out. And so you bring everything down. You do all this stuff with the lawyers, with the immigration, with the first you got to get lucky enough to find a sponsor that's willing to believe in you and bring you down. So it's a real intimidating process. It's expensive. It's stressful. It's like, and again, your first permit's 3 years, so you're on a ticking clock. And so going back to what I was saying, I think the reason a lot of Canadian guys kick ass down here is because we're running on the clock.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we get down here and we're just relent. We hit the ground like a gerbil on a wheel. Like it's like, I got 3 years and I got to make some noise. And I got, so I know that was the same for my case. And I know Norm, who used to be my best friend, sadly he's gone. And, but, you know, he came down a year before me, and then I came down, and it's I saw it with Norm too. Like you just have to, you have to rock and roll when you get here. Mike Myers and a lot of these guys. You know,
they say a lot of British actors as well. Like
they have to go through the same process.
They'll basically take lower money than American actors because they have to have the jobs.
Right.
Yeah,
they need the
They need to work so bad.
I would have married
less.
You, and you could have got a citizenship.
See,
is that cheaper?
You know, I was really, even back then, I was looking for a girl with no eyebrows. But thank you, you for
crazy,
offering.
That's crazy because I would have like waxed and been like, "Oh, cool."
Yeah, was, could have, might have. You know,
I remember
it
like
honestly seemed like you never even considered it until we mentioned it.
I mean, if you had a bald face, I would have. I would have said, "Show me the ring."
You immediately
show me the ring.
You would be reaping the benefits. Canadian citizenship.
Does that make it faster for you guys if you married somebody or no?
Yeah, if you.
I'm just curious because somebody approached me when I was right out of high school to do that.
If you have a if you marry an American woman or a man, if you're a girl, you get citizenship. So some people do that. I had a friend that did a fake marriage, like married a guy.
That's what they wanted. They gave me a whole breakdown how they would do it.
Yeah, but it's just still it's I think it gets complicated and ugly and so it's. It's probably stressful on the person that's willing to help too, because you can be culpable if they find out, and it's just it's a lot of weird maneuver. It's like perpetrating a giant lie, sort of, and 100%. Even though you're doing it for sort of innocent reasons to help someone, you're kind of at the same time duping the system. So it's it's kind of a weird, awkward thing. So
do you know Lois Bromfield?
No.
Well, she was a Canadian. She came down here. You know who she is?
You think he knows all Canadians, Eleanor?
I don't know.
Oh, wait,
she
Lois.
Create, yeah.
Lois Wheat Harvest Bromfield? Oh, my God. Yeah.
She was like a writer on Roseanne. She was a terrific comic. She was, she was a regular here.
Okay.
Mitzi was obsessed with her, and she needed her citizenship. So she was a lesbian, and she married our piano player who was gay. And they were Peter and Polly's. Peter and Polly Shore's guardians for years.
That's interesting. Wow.
Now she lives in Germany. So
yeah, I had
she's amazing. She's a writer.
It always ends
comic.
In Germany.
She's brilliant.
Always ends in Sprechen die Deutsch. Yeah.
Sprechen die Deutsch. But I just was curious if it was like faster because Lois was hot. She was killing it here. And then they were like, you got to leave. And then,
oh, yeah. So, it's kind of scary.
So it was hard.
Yeah.
And that was the 70s. So it's
and
I
think there's people, too, that just stay here and stay under the radar. But it's almost like that Dog the Bounty Hunter guy. Like you really can't, like, even if something came up, well, yeah, we want to cast you. Well, where's your social security number? And where is this? And I had one buddy that came down and actually bought like a fake social security number, and then one time when he went back and tried to come down, they caught him and they wouldn't let him back in the States, and all his stuff was he was living here. And so you're always kind of, it's like kind of that looking over your shoulder
thing. I couldn't live like that.
So I think a lot of people don't realize that it's it's quite the process, and especially when you're at the beginning of your stand-up career, when you're you know, you're not making huge entertainment dollars. You're you're making money to pay your rent. So
that that's kind of what I was. My curiosity is like for a comedian, especially because I know people with specific jobs, doctors or whatever, they can get in because they can prove they're working some hospital.
But
how does a comedian?
Well, actually, what you have to do is you have to in those. You know, those fledgling years of your stand-up, you have to hope that you got a newspaper article written about you two or three or even four or five. Like, even if it's like, you know, the local Fresno Bugles had a picture of you at a college. Like, you almost have to put a press kit together. That's what I had to do. And then you have to try, and you're still new at it, so you're trying to get established comedians and people in the industry to write you letters. You have to get five letters of reference from prominent people in the industry. So that's not easy to do either. So there's a whole layer of stuff. But luckily, I got traction quickly up in Canada, and I was, you know, I started, I was headlining within... Just over a year, I was headlining.
It's amazing.
And so I was, all the big players up there knew me. And then I got into the Montreal Comedy Festival quite quickly, which is a huge thing.
That was when they
were
giving out deals and stuff.
Yeah. So I was able to, it was, still wasn't easy, but I was able to get all, gather all the pieces together.
Right.
And then fortunately, an American manager saw me in Montreal and said he wanted to sponsor me. And
oh, that's
so
great.
Yeah, it was so.
Are you still with that manager?
I'm not with him. He passed recently. They had a little thing from here. It was Howard Lapidus.
Oh yeah.
So he was really a nice guy. And
very nice.
Always grateful to Howard for. You know, he's the guy that
that's
opened
sweet.
The door.
Yeah, he sponsored you.
Yeah. So.
In my head, I was like, "Oh yeah, you stay with that person if they got you into the country." But
yeah, no, you know the as you know, agents and managers are always shifting, and you know, I think all of us. It's very rare when you meet a comic or an actor that stayed with the same person all the way through their career. And when you do meet those people, you're kind of jealous because you kind of
want to
stay with the same person your whole career because you build a personal relationship and you know each other's idiosyncrasies and. But as far as my journey and most of the people I know, it's you've been through 3, 4, 5 managers.
Yeah.
I've been through every big agency.
Yeah.
You know, I've been with CAA, Endeavor, William Morris, APA.
Yeah,
I've been through all of them, you know.
It's like cable. You got to change it. You get the better deal.
I'm so sorry.
I'm thinking of HBO and BO.
Circular, though.
Orville
she did bring it back.
He brought it back around.
I don't know where I'm at.
It's all right.
Remember Tripoli had a Canadian girlfriend and she eventually got deported?
Oh, I don't remember.
I think they broke up. She was a comic.
Do you think Christina she got deported or she ran away from Tripoli? I mean, I'm
well, they broke
it's
up.
Very serious.
Yeah, they broke up. And then it was a few months later. He was like, dude, she got caught. She overstayed or whatever. She got deported. I'm like, oh, that sucks. And then
it's
there's
really
like a certain
weird
amount of time
too,
you have to wait. After that happens,
it's weird too because it's like with the immigration situation in the States, whether people are coming through Mexico or flying from Russia or coming through China, that was one of the most frustrating things because people like me and other people from other countries go through all this stuff and it takes years, it takes a decade actually. And you do everything right, you pay all this money, you do all this stuff, and then, and I'm not picking on Mexicans, it's all countries. Like, people coming in from all over the world, and they just go, come on in, have schooling, have medical, have this, you don't need a green card, you know, and you're just like, really? So, and you feel like a bit of a chump for doing
like,
the whole dance.
I did everything right, but don't you think those people have to live looking over their shoulder? Like they
I feel like now it's like now you come in illegally, you're allowed to get a driver's license. Now they're saying they're starting to say you can vote. I mean, you get a social security. Like that's what I mean. You almost get all the benefits coming in illegally that you do doing it through the proper channels.
Wow. At least in California.
Yeah, and it's just like...
Arizona, too, yeah.
I'm not crapping all over people. I know everyone has a desperate struggle, but it's still, it's like, the question is there a process or isn't there? And why are some people getting away with it and some aren't? And it was very weird. That was a bit of a shock coming to this country and seeing that kind of, those weird, distorted levels, but...
Which country you like better? I mean, I'm not asking, but you could say it directly in the camera.
Big time question here.
Well, you know, they always say home is where the heart is, right?
Yeah.
So I love America, and actually my ancestors came from here and then skipped a generation, and a bunch of them moved to Canada. So I'm always a Canadian at heart, but
right.
I love the United States, and if I ever have a family and kids, I'll have them here. And,
okay.
And so in a way, speaking of circles, it's interesting because my great-grandparents were from here up in Ohio and Pennsylvania and moved up to Canada. So a few generations removed. So in a way, I just feel like part of, I'm on the same loop, like a North American loop.
Yeah, there you go.
But I think you're always, whether it's a state or a country or even a town, your heart's always...
My heart's always in Philly.
Philly, right?
She loves Philly.
Seafood,
despite the seafood that she won't eat.
And maybe it's good, because imagine one day she's eating a big bowl of clam chowder. She bends down, and one of her eyebrows pops off.
Right in there.
Right.
And can never get it back.
Like,
and then the chowder's ruined forever.
Chowder's ruined. Waiter, there's an eyebrow in my soup.
Chowder.
And then Kat Von D turns around and says, really? You should have used my Midnight Star Splash eyeshadow.
Kat Von D.
Yeah.
You should have tattooed your eyebrows on.
Unbelievable.
But just as a waitress, you just brought a scent back to my note. Like, as a waitress,
I used to
bring clam chowder out. And I'd be like, the whole time, I couldn't
restaurant?
Even serve it in Philadelphia.
What was it called?
HBO. Winston's.
HBO.
First of all, wait a minute. H.A. Winston's.
The circle, man. The circle.
She acted like she'd never even heard of seafood. And now she's serving clam chowder.
And puking in it, apparently.
Yeah, but that's
with her eyebrows.
Soup. That's everywhere.
But what was the name of this place?
H.A. Winston's.
H.A. Winston's.
Not H.B.
Great author, too, by the way. Have you read any of his books?
He was the J.D. Salinger of 58.
You know.
That
you know
makes sense, because I almost got raped in the bathroom. But,
jeez.
Not the funnest seafood story I've ever heard. Was that during Scallop Fest?
I believe Rock Lobster was
More like Cock Lobster.
Yes.
God. You're joking, right?
Wow.
You weren't assaulted in a seafood.
Yeah, but they made a fatal mistake.
Yeah.
You were assaulted in a seafood for real?
Well, I was. It wasn't seafood.
Oh, sorry.
Seafood.
I thought you were joking.
It wasn't seafood.
What, in a restaurant?
It was a restaurant that I worked at, and the bartender was a little drunk, and he made a mistake. That was a mistake.
Did he learn the hard way?
He certainly did.
Oh, so it wasn't like some stranger. It was just like a guy.
He was a worker.
He goes, hey, buddy, and then he started getting all flirty, and it went too far.
He tried to trap me in the stall in the bathroom.
How'd you get out?
It's uncomfortable to talk about, but it didn't work out for him.
There's a chance this guy can't walk anymore.
Is that true? Oh, the baseball bat.
Yeah,
right. I mean, the Orville Redenbacher Nutcracker.
The Redenbacher. The Redenbacher Basher.
Redenbacher, yeah.
It was right by the Academy of Music, so there was a lot of Nutcrackers there.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable.
Did you ever see Nutcracker?
And by the way, Nutcracker is a ballet. The circle just keeps getting. I feel like I've landed in a bowl of calamari. Like, there's so many circles. Or deep-fried assholes, as I call them. Have you ever...
That's very white to say it like
that. Have you ever seen calamari? I'm convinced the texture, I'm sure...
You'd be able to...
Down at the morgue, someone's deep-frying some assholes. Like, there's some mortician making a killing.
They look and smell that like
we
that.
We might be able to make calamari the number one food with millennials if we just sell it under the
that's a good
fried
idea,
asshole.
Right, they love to eat
and you
ass.
Charge them extra for the bleached ones.
Yeah, obviously.
Ooh. Right?
Yeah, you got
those
it.
Are like the high
premium.
Caliber premium.
Cream of the crop,
a
top
bleached
shelf
calamari hole, yeah.
A bleached calamari, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Millennials will get down on that for
caught on the bleached coral reefs of Australia.
People
bleached
said it was
asshole.
Bad, but is it?
Okay.
But is it bad? That's really what we need.
We could put
ask.
A little shrimp in the whole, you know?
Oh,
nothing.
Wow.
Right. I don't know much about
you
seafood.
You don't know seafood. Yeah, I wouldn't.
It's been established.
You better not talk about it. How dare you?
You just can't You can't just talk out of your ass if you don't know anything about seafood.
Yeah. Unless you bread it first, and then
right,
you can.
Then
yeah.
you can. Yeah. Then you can fry it up.
Yeah.
See, that's a big one in Philly, Galamar. I didn't.
What'd you say, gala?
That's exactly.
With a G?
I don't know. It's how the Italians say it.
That's like gnocchi. It's gnocchi. But
gnocchi.
It's gnocchi.
Yeah.
They just drop letters.
I'm 100% Irish when I say it. Like
are you?
That. Gnocchi. Yeah, but yeah. I was in South Philly, so it's like Italy too. I was surrounded.
Yeah.
But that's what they do. Like they'll be like, "Oh, we made fried calamari," and you're like, "Oh, yeah. I didn't know it was calamari till I was a like fully grown adult in my like."
But were you
20s.
Eating? Were you eating?
Hell no.
Fried asshole.
No, no. And they would always
coward.
Put it in my face, all my Marios.
Oh, yeah. She's had a lot of Marios.
Yeah.
She calls them Mario, yeah. even though it's Mario.
I think it's like funny. In England, there's a term called mingin. Have you ever heard mingin? It's kind of like, it's sketchy. It's like nasty.
Like the English. Yeah.
But the English, if you ever go over there, that they say it so fast. Like normally you'd say, oh, that's mingin that. But they say it so fast. It's almost like they're not. They do. Oh, that's a mingnet. And it's like so. It's like they drop every letter except the M almost. Oh, that's a mingnet. Like it's just like they eliminate the middle. Mingin.
Mm-hmm.
Mingin is like it just means like it's nasty. It's like like dirty
mingit.
And like yeah. It's fucking, it's fucking
under every bridge
mingit,
in LA.
You know? Under every bridge in LA. Yeah. yeah. Have you ever spent the night under a bridge with those folks?
I've wanted to, but
have you?
They haven't always been. Very welcoming.
Okay.
Are you
a little
serious?
Territorial?
So I get welcome.
Have you tried
you
approaching
in,
with your peeing your pants?
Is that a key? I could
helps.
Do it.
Do you
helps.
Add a limp? Do you add a limp or something? A limp help?
Tattoo of Willie Nelson on the neck.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
There used
look at
to
that.
Be this homeless guy named Winston that would come up to the comedy
oh
store.
Oh, my God.
And
I remember Winston.
He was missing some teeth and great spirit on him, though.
Yeah.
He'd come up and... Hey, how's it going? I go, hey, Winston, you want a couple bucks? I try and give him a couple dollars. He goes, I can't take your money. You're my son. And I'm like,
wow.
Wow.
No idea that probably 75-year-old black man is my
hey,
father.
Winston.
But he
I can
would
see
not
that.
Accept my money. And then one night I saw him. I go, what's up, Winston? How you been? Oh, I haven't been good. If you see Fraser Smith, tell him to bring me some pants. And I just went,
oh, wow.
Man, I will deliver that message.
I remember all of this.
It's a terrible situation when you're giving messages to other people to let Fraser Smith know he's in need of pants.
Yeah.
Our open mic scene was a lot of homeless
Very
for
homeless.
A long time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
A lot. They'd do 20 comics, and I'd have to pick a number out of a bucket or no number. And there were some weeks it was probably 14 vagabonds.
Wow. 100%.
We knew numbers. Them all, too. It was great.
Really? Interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, I'll say this to their credit. At least they were being motivated and trying something.
Yeah.
Trying to do something. Whether they're doing it for a goof or whether they were, you know, obviously the homeless situation is tragic, but you know.
Out of control.
When somebody has lost their way and takes the incentive to try anything, I guess that's a positive step. And you guys were welcoming to them and let them go up.
I mean,
they were the only people who wanted to be here.
Oh,
that's
wow.
True.
Well, then they deserve to do well.
That's why I was going to ask, when did you get here? Because we did have a year.
There were
like,
some scary
we
times.
We called the
here.
Dead years here.
Oh.
Nobody was coming here, really.
Oh, wow.
And the owner was getting sicker and homeless. Where Crispy Chicken was our number one comic.
That's
Crispy Chicken.
Chicken.
He had elephantitis in the nuts, but it was fun to watch. And
had a great bit about how he looked like a homeless Tom Selleck, and he did indeed look like a homeless
like
Tom
a
Selleck.
Handsome guy, like a private eye.
He was good looking.
Weird.
With filthy but good looking, and then a giant nut
Huge
on one
nut.
Side.
Wow. How did he leave it hanging out like an
he
elephant?
He would show
ear?
Us, and it was also through his jeans.
He would show us. He at one point it got
he
so
had a
bad
wheelchair
he
for
showed
a while.
Up in a wheelchair that had wooden wheels.
What is he, a Flintstone?
I mean, like he got this thing at a thrift store.
Homeless rubble or something?
This thing had been sitting in the corner since 1942.
Weird.
Straight out of an insane asylum. And he would use his feet and then just roll it down. Just huge nut.
Unbelievable.
Did he ever like accidentally roll over the nut?
At some point, you'd think the nut probably
got
suffered
rolled.
The consequences.
Yeah.
Something.
But it was an elephantitis nut, like a John Merrick ball.
It was a huge nut. It was frightening.
Did he ever, do you remember John Merrick put the burlap bag over his head and just had the one eye hole? I wonder, like the Elephant Man?
Oh.
John Merrick was the Elephant Man.
Oh, okay, yes. In my head, I'm thinking of the Elephant Man.
So I'm wondering if this guy ever put the burlap bag with the hole over his bag and talked to him and had a elephant friend?
I'd pay top dollar to watch that.
A little elephant friend in his underpants?
The old saying, the elephant friend.
How are you tonight? Easy. Simba, Mumba, Ungawa.
Wait,
remember Elephant Boy? There used to be a show called Elephant Boy.
No.
No?
Is this Canada?
Okay. Welcome to my world.
Legendary Canadian cartoon.
Oh, for real?
I'm not familiar.
I was like,
I think it was a black and white like TV series called Elephant Boy.
That's
and it was
a
little Indian boy and he'd ride around on an elephant. And,
okay.
Can we Google that one? Can you see if because now I'm starting to doubt if I'm making this up, but I remember it from my childhood.
You hate that? You're like, did I make that up?
I think Elephant Boy. And if you do have the opening. Because my memory is that this little Indian boy with a white turban comes crashing through the window. He's like, Elephant Boy! And then here he is on this elephant. Is that, there he is. It's him. See if the trailer's available. See if the trailer is available
is
for the intro.
For sure.
No, this is a
video.
Real thing, though. We can't be canceled for something
elephant
real.
Elephant Boy. Oh, that's so funny.
The intro to the Elephant Boy. Can you play videos on here or no?
I think he can, but...
Anyways, maybe you can't for a copy. I don't know, but... So my memory serves me correct.
See that?
Elephant Boy's
real. Elephant Boy. So maybe that guy...
I'd like to reboot it.
Well, do it with this guy's ball.
That'd be amazing.
I'd like
someone could... A little Indian boy with a white turban could ride in on his nuts. Here we go.
That would be nice.
London.
Fancy.
This isn't loud enough, I don't think.
That's minging it. That's fucking minging it.
What's minging?
Minging.
Oh, here he goes.
I gotta hear that. That's so good.
Present. Come on. Come through the trees on an elephant. Elephant
I mean, this says 1937. Wow. This is terrifying.
Come on. Where is he?
Wow.
So was my grandfather, and so was his father before him. All mahouts, drivers of elephants. There is no other such honorable occupation.
One shot. No edits. Delivered.
Pause it for 1 second.
Delivered flawlessly.
Hold
in
on,
one take.
Can you pause it? So think about it. This kid... did this 70 years ago. He's a little Indian boy actor and now gets resurrected 70 years later because some guy under a bridge has an elephant ball and we're talking about a homeless guy's elephant sack.
That's the beautiful.
And now he gets a new life.
He's getting views.
Because some guy's got elephant balls.
Dude, crispy chicken, he brings back the best nostalgic.
Oh, that's so fun. I'm just happy my memory, like...
It is real.
Elephant Boy. Glorious.
That's wonderbar.
Well, now, you're watching Elephant Boy. You move to the States. You're like, I got to find an elephant.
In that exact order.
No. But,
do I
so
even...
How do you come here? How do you get to the Comedy Store? Like, did you showcase here a long time ago?
Oh, my journey to the Comedy Store is bizarre. So Howard Lapidus, my first manager, when I first got here... His job was to, he basically told immigration that he had over $100,000 worth of gigs lined up for me.
Wow.
So that was a bit of a common lie that I think a lot of sponsors did because they wouldn't let you in unless they saw you were going to be contributing.
America needs to know we can rob you. Yes.
Right. They need to get their taxes and everything. And I know Howard would have got me the gigs over time, but the fact that I just landed, there was no way.
Oh, shit.
So his job was to quickly get me in front of the players in town, the Improv, the Laugh Factory, the Comedy Store.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first place he got me up was at the Laugh Factory. And I remember, I think the first night I walked off stage, I got offered two TV shows.
Oh,
it was, and I'm not talking like sitcoms, but yeah. Remember back in the day they had like a Comedy on the Road and Evening at the Improv.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They had all these comedy cable shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I got offered two of those like my first night. I was just like, holy crap, here
what
we go.
What year is this?
This was late 80s, like 80, 89 or 88.
Okay.
So I was like, wow. And then he said, okay, now we got to get you over to the... So I was in at the Laugh Factory. They loved me there. And then he goes, let's get you over to the Comedy Store and do a show in front of Mitzi Shore. And I was clueless. I was like, okay, Mitzi, who's that? You know, he goes, oh, she runs it. I go, okay. Like, I just thought she was a club owner, which she was. But none of it resonated with me because I was just new here. I didn't know anything. And back in the day, I sort of, just as a goof, I was always experimenting with things. Like, I'd bring Christmas trees on stage. I'd go up shirtless and bring a bag of dry cement. I'd bring a bicycle with no wheels. I did so
very
much crazy
traditional
stuff. Yeah, I used to go up with no shirt on in the summer. I mean, I love just experimenting. So at that point in time, I used to keep the headpiece of a phone, like a landline, and the cord in my back pocket. And during my act, I'd for no reason, I'm randomly pull out and go, yeah, they really liked that last joke. Yeah, okay, I'll be home in an hour. Like, I just talk into the phone and just put it back, just for fun, you know?
Right.
And so I got up, and I guess I had to do 6 minutes in front of Mitzi, and I didn't know the whole thing.
Three or six, yeah.
I really had no pressure on, because I just thought, oh,
that's incredible.
Someone's in the back. I don't know who it is. So I just went up and did my thing, and they go, okay, got to go talk to Mitzi. And I went, what are you talking about? I got to go talk to someone? Like, I didn't know any of the rituals or any of the whatever it was. So I went off. She goes, oh, yeah. I didn't like that phone in your back pocket. And in my head, I was like, who gives a fuck what you like, you know?
Oh my God.
Like, in my head,
so
I was like,
sorry,
who the
Mitch.
Fuck are you?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And but I didn't know, right?
I know.
I didn't know the power, the importance. And to be honest, even if I did,
you wouldn't care.
I was always so, I said, you know what? I don't care who's in front of me or what. I'm powering
you
through.
Gotta go.
I was laser focused from day one. Like, when I got on stage in Toronto, I was like, this is a great piece of real estate. This is a great microphone. I'm going to be in Hollywood in 3 years. Like, I knew.
Perfect.
I was just so laser jet
ready focused. For
so,
it.
So even Mitzi, even if I did know what she was, I would have probably still, and I don't want to sound belligerent or rude,
but
I was like, I'm not going to let that stop me. But in this case, I didn't know her, and I just went, who the fuck is this? You know, and so they never invited me back. And so I said, I don't care. Like, I didn't know about any of that stuff.
To the next place.
So I just worked at the improv and the comedy and the laughing whenever I wanted.
Yeah.
I was up all the time. And then literally about 4 years ago, like, I've been in this city 30 years.
That's hysterical.
4 years ago, Adam Egit.
Yeah.
Is it Egit?
Legend, yeah.
Adam
Egit. I didn't really know Adam at all. I get this call one day, and I go, hello. And he goes, hey, it's Adam. And I go, who? He goes, yeah, from down at the Comedy Store. And I go, okay. And he goes, yeah, I'm booking it here or whatever. I'm running it. And I go, okay. And he goes, how come you never play here? And I go, Adam, I'll be 100% honest with you. I say, because there's no parking. I'd never been here. So I always thought you had to park. Like, this is the Sunset Strip where all the clubs were. And so I'd been here a couple of times for charity things, to do things. Like, I probably played here 4 times in 30 years.
Wow.
So I always ended up having to park down the street in a garage. They, well, we close at 10 o'clock. Come, you better be here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like $30.
Awful.
And I was like, why am I bothering going to this club when I... So I said, I came, and he goes, just come down and do a set. So I said, okay, I'll come down and meet you and do a set. I did a set, and I said, Adam, it sounds horrible, but it's the parking. And he said, come with me, and he took me out to that back parking lot.
Yeah.
And he goes, you see this? And I said, yeah. He goes, you can park here. I said, I'll see you every week. And I've been coming here every week since.
The parking situation
the parking
is handled.
Amazing, actually,
yeah.
Here.
For, it's great.
It's, comic,
it
yeah.
for, it's right at the door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to sound like a big shot, but that was really
a
all
big
it
deal.
Was. Because I had the other clubs to work out, and I didn't. And I honestly, to be honest, as a Canadian and removed from this Hollywood world, I didn't know about all the...
Hoopla.
All the cliques and the hoopla and the you're a store comic and yet like not and even if I did
you
I
weren't involved.
I
yeah.
said to the guy up in Canada, Mark Breslin ran kind of the comedy world up there,
mm-hmm.
and at one point a bunch of the comics were rebelling because they thought he had a monopoly on all the comedy clubs, and they phoned me one day and said, Harland, are you with us? And I said, guys, with all due respect, I got into this to be on a stage with a microphone, not get into politics. I said, that's all I want. That's all I need.
Yeah.
I'm not getting involved in any of it. I'm here on a mission. And,
yeah.
And some of them resented that, but I didn't care. I wasn't there for them. I'm not there for anybody's games or
exactly.
cliques.
Yeah.
I was always there just to get the job done and enjoy comedy. And
but that's
it was
smart.
For people. It was I always thought it was for people. It wasn't for the internal
bullshit.
Yeah.
yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, I know.
Are you into not making money so that we can prove a point to one guy?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah,
because
they did have
plan.
A big strike here. Same thing with her with the comedy store because they weren't no. Well, the comedy clubs they weren't paying comics.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
So they fought for it, and then 78, 79, something like that.
Yeah.
So it did become a big thing. The reason it became you can't work the improv versus the comedy store was Mitzi and Bud. Were the two big comedy clubs.
Right.
Shot callers.
Yeah, and they made a deal, and they were working out how much to pay, and Bud folded earlier, and Mitzi was furious because it made it look like she was the asshole.
She was being cheap, yeah.
Yeah, so everybody went over there, and then she became, you know, the bitch in comedy. She's the big bitch.
Huh, interesting.
So, yeah.
I'm just so naive to all that stuff, but...
Well,
but
I got to be honest.
Fix the parking, though.
We're glad you're here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love
would
it.
Let you park on
very
my face because I don't have any eyebrows. You could just park. That came out wrong, didn't it?
Eleanor,
this is
it
a full
sounded
circle.
Very forward.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is a full circle
park on your face.
Comedy.
Wow, okay.
Well, your eyebrows have to do yeah. with parking on his face.
Yeah,
why don't you just harass all
I'm
of our
so
guests, Eleanor? Jesus,
that he's here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
I'm
we know
a
what you meant.
Lonely,
pervert.
And I get it.
Wow.
If she goes for the bat, just know that's the only sign you've taken it just far enough.
I feel like a waitress in a seafood restaurant getting accosted right.
Yeah.
It's just like
we've all been there.
Really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel trapped and
yeah,
cornered. Elephant boy! He comes in and the guy with the giant nut comes in and rescues me. He's swirling.
I remember I saw a Dodgers game one time. I'm watching it at home and I'm like, is that crispy chicken? And they stand behind,
oh,
right
yeah.
behind home plate. And I'm like, I must be tripping. That fucking homeless guy has got front row seats at the Dodgers game. And Vince
was it him?
It was him. And Vince Scully's like, boy, someone looks like they've had a little too much to drink. Dancing the night away. And I'm like, that's crispy chicken. And then
wow.
he goes, uh-oh, someone's not in their seats. And then it's just security wrangling
out.
Crispy chicken out from behind home plate. I'm like, dude, he got a call out from Vince Scully.
And those were the days before they had like the netting.
Yeah.
Like, so he would have been the perfect guy to be there because if a foul ball came
just
back, his nutbag would have saved
oh,
him.
Yeah.
He would have jumped up
that.
Like an elephant.
Protected
just,
children.
Yeah. yeah. Simba, Mumba, Ungawa. And by the way, those words are.
I can't
I think
wait
he
to
said
watch
those.
It. I know.
Oh, you're going to watch it?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it later.
Elephant,
not now.
Look at him.
Okay.
He's on the little, it looks like a nut sack right there.
Yep, that
look
could
like
be
my
he's
eyebrows.
Riding an ice, a nut
there's
sack.
My eyebrows.
That might be
that's
crispy.
Your eyebrows. And he's eating like a coconut rind or something. What a life to be the elephant boy.
Dude. He grew up.
He grew up to be
boy.
The elephant man, though, which wasn't such
a
nice
turn
life.
Out great.
I am not an animal. God,
but the in between years are probably
the
pretty great.
The beauty of youth, you know.
Is this
then,
where elephant man came from?
This is the origin
no.
story.
Is, oh, okay.
This is the origin
we're
story.
We're fantasizing.
Wouldn't
that's
that
what
be amazing, though?
Yeah, to start out.
Say London. They had a thing with
by the
him.
Way, he looks a hell of a lot like Mowgli from Jungle
very
Book.
Very similar.
I wonder if he ripped him off.
Yeah, they were doing what Rick's daughter does. They just took this story.
But didn't Rudyard Kipling write Jungle Book?
Yeah, probably.
And then I think he wrote Elephant Boy too.
Yeah, it looks like it. So,
he's
reselling his same story.
Oh, wow.
I like it.
We got the scoop here.
I wonder,
he's reusing ideas.
I wonder if Elephant Boy is secretly Mowgli.
Do you really know who wrote
Rudyard
Mowgli?
Who Mowgli is?
Do you know who wrote Jungle Book?
Yeah, I think it was also Rudyard Kipling, wasn't it?
I don't know. I'm being impressed by any of them.
I think it was.
I think you're correct.
I think he wrote both of them. Do you want to check for us back there, Johnny Google Tits, or whatever your name is?
You know, from now on, he will be Johnny Google Tits.
Well, he's been Googling the whole time. I mean, it's like
this,
we got this space Google guy back there, you know?
Johnny Google Tits. So
I love Johnny Google Tits.
Of the Brooklyn Google Tits.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Rudyard Kipling.
Nailed it. Jungle Book.
Eleanor, all right.
When are you going to stop questioning the knowledge of decent men?
I'm not. I'm never. I just was impressed by it. I literally was like, oh, wow, okay. Because in my head, I couldn't put it together.
Well, don't be too impressed, because he also wrote later in his career, Deep Throat. So
one of his better...
Also involved in
Elephant Trunk.
Yeah, the book is really good.
Simba, Mumonga.
The movie doesn't hold up. Yeah. Linda Lovelace, there she is. What a great documentary.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks
for being on, incredible.
Thank you for coming down and doing this. Thank you, guys.
Do you have stuff you want to promote? I know you do art and all sorts of other stuff.
Well, what I want to promote is... I do art. I draw my own T-shirts.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome.
Yeah, thank you. And I have a website called harbling.com.
Okay.
And basically what it is I draw directly on the fabric with a Sharpie. So it's one of a kind. You're kind of wearing a piece of unique art.
Oh, cool.
And you can buy the originals at harbling.com, or if for out of the originals for a reduced price, you can buy a print.
Mm-hmm.
And then, keeping in the vein of podcasts, I just started my own podcast up called the Harland Highway Podcast.
Nice.
And I'm very excited about it. I've only done about 10 or 15 episodes, and just getting it off the ground. And so if you like podcasts and you like funny and you like Elephant Boy, jump on the Harland Highway. It's on YouTube, and check it out.
I'm going to get a shirt for Johnny Google Tits from your website.
You know I'm only joking. I know.
No, it's never
apologize to him.
Oh, really?
Google Tits.
Never apologize to him. It's amazing what you just did.
Johnny Google Tits.
Legend.
Look out.
Good luck getting into Canada.
Yeah, good luck with that.
You'd make a good team. Elephant Balls and Johnny Google Tits. And No Eyebrows McGinty over here. We're the only two without any physical ailments.
Normal guy.
Yeah, you guys are just perfect.
Yeah, we're perfect. Pretty much perfect. I shop at Ross Dress for Less, but outside of that, I'm glowing.
And once I get you into that ballet store, you're going to have a green tutu.
I'm a Nebraska 7, so I'm basking in that.
Definitely. It
feels good. Well, thanks for being on, man. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Rick, for being back.
Yeah, where are you going to be?
Actually, I'll be in Kansas City. I'm doing Poughkeepsie next week.
Legend.
Watch out for Orville.
Really? Is he up there?
it's corn country.
He'll be popping.
Yeah.
What about Poughkeepsie at Laugh It Up with Dice the 22nd through the 23rd? And then, the 21st through the 23rd. I'm a mess.
Yeah.
And then Kansas City at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. The last week of July.
Go check her out.
The numbers, I'm terrible.
It's a terrible time of year to be outside.
Dice is doing the early shows, and I'm headlining the late shows.
Nice.
So come on out. Have a good time.
Awesome.
It's very exciting. What about you, Ricky? You're in town for a while?
I'm in town for a week, and then I'm back out on the road. You can go to Chris Rock's website.
He opens for Chris Rock.
So that's where I'm performing. So you won't see my name anywhere.
Go see Chris because Rick opens the show. It's exciting.
Come see me in a suit, just looking sharp as fuck.
Woo.
Just taking care of business.
I love it.
Yeah. Bye.
All right. I'm on next. Guys, Comedy Store Podcast is back. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Please leave us your negative and positive comments, mostly negative.
You can follow me at Rick Ingram. I only accept positivity in my life.
The new Rick is here, and EJ Kerrigan still with the negativity, but like and subscribe.